Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Monday, March 25th, 2024. Today's poem is by John Robert Lee, a contemporary poet and a member of a remarkable school of St. Lucian poets. He was a friend and protege of the poet and Nobel laureate Derek Walcott. Walcott had this to say about Lee's work. Robert Lee has been a scrupulous poet. That's the biggest virtue that he has, and it's not a common virtue in poets to be scrupulous and modest in the best sense, not to overextend the range of the truth of his emotions, not to go for the grandiose. He is a Christian poet, obviously. You don't get in the poetry anything that is, in a sense, preachy or self-advertising in terms of its morality. In short, he is a fine poet. I'll be reading two of Lee's poems today, and together I think they exhibit pretty well what Walcott has praised about Lee's work there. Together they also form a unit that's pretty appropriate for the date. March 25th is historically the Feast of the Annunciation in the Christian liturgical calendar, the announcement of the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary that she will conceive and bear a child who will be Christ the Lord. The first poem takes us back to the Garden of Eden, and it's called Temptations. It is clear she was beguiled by the serpent's sinuous flatteries, but was he seduced by her full curving softnesses, allured by those flittering lashes, tripped into the parting chasms of her sweet, flirtatious mouth? So says the old poet. Or, eavesdropping, curious man, did he wonder about the crystal gate, the proffered dominion, the deadly enticements of wisdom? Whichever, flouting the order, he chose. Just one more query. Those tunics of covering skin, were those the firstborn lambs they had loved above all others? This is both a understated and wrenching poem. The she, clearly Eve, and the he, Adam, at the time of the original sin of man. Eve, the speaker says, was clearly beguiled by flatteries of the serpent, but Adam could have had one of two separate motivations, he suggests. The first, the temptation of the flesh, seduced by Eve's beauty, so says the old poet, and that old poet is probably John Milton, who in his epic poem Paradise Lost suggests that after Eve has sinned and eaten from the forbidden fruit, the flouted order, later in the poem, that Adam knowingly takes the fruit from her and eats also because he is so beguiled by Eve's beauty and he loves her so deeply that he cannot bear to live on in his unfallen state without her as she perishes. So he chooses to enter into death along with her. But the poem suggests perhaps it wasn't that. Perhaps it was something more an enticement of the mind, the temptation of vain curiosity or intellectual pride. And then the final couplet, just one more query. Those tunics of covering skin, were those the firstborn lambs they had loved above all others? And we tend to think about Adam and Eve as being ultimately alone, relatively alone. And when they sin and when they make their choice at the tree, that they are really only self-focused. But it's striking to be reminded that they had innocent things to care for and nurture in their presence. And yet they still proceeded with their disobedience. And it's a humbling reminder that in a very universal sense, we all tend to have obligations and others who depend on us, and yet we persist in our own follies. The second poem is called Icon. Now he bears the image of his mother, all enfolding eyes, smile settling at the lips' corners, the rest of the face profoundly patient. Her root, her offspring, her overshadowing conception, her magnificent annunciation, her spirit-ravished passion. Pondering liturgical mysteries, oppressed by the banal and tyrannical, the children born by this incarnation wait expectant as the willing will. This one, even briefer and more understated, puts me in the mind of an icon stand or a rood screen where you might see side by side icons or images of both Jesus and Mary. And the reflection here is that while Jesus is the creator, that Jesus is the divine origin for the human image, yet paradoxically, he also is the offspring of a human mother, and so bears her image just as she is made in his. Her offspring, her root, her overshadowing conception, her magnificent annunciation, these things that seem in tension, but are resolved in the mysterious relationship between them. And then that relationship grows and overflows to include the rest of humanity who are being restored after the unfortunate incident in the garden we read about a moment ago. So that all of the children born by this incarnation, this being born of the Virgin by Christ, are pondering these liturgical mysteries and waiting expectantly, as expectant as the willing will. It's a great final phrase. I'm going to read both of these poems again. First Temptation. It is clear she was beguiled by the serpent's sinuous flatteries, but he was he, seduced by her full curving softnesses, allured by those glittering lashes, tripped into the parting chasms of her sweet flirtatious mouth. So says the old poet. Or eavesdropping, curious man, did he wonder about the crystal gate, the proffered dominion, the deadly enticements of wisdom? Whichever, flouting the order, he chose. And just one more query. Those tunics of covering skin, were those the firstborn lambs they had loved above all others? And Icon. Now he bears the image of his mother, all enfolding eyes, smile settling at the lips' corners, the rest of the face profoundly patient. Her root, her offspring, her overshadowing conception, her magnificent annunciation, her spirit-ravished passion. Pondering liturgical mysteries, oppressed by the banal and tyrannical, the children born by this incarnation wait expectant as the willing will. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. And as an aside, I highly recommend that you seek out and enjoy more of John Robert Lee's poetry. I think he's vastly underrated, and you can probably expect to hear more of his work on the Daily Poem in the future. To listen to other past episodes of our show or to subscribe to receive daily poem by email or updates, and to show your more material support, you can visit dailypoempod.substack.com. On behalf of our whole team at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.